Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Spirit of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
Praise God. We have an amazing journey before us this evening. I trust God for simplicity and clarity. So we are currently running through that series, Kingdom Service. Am I correct? Yeah. Kingdom Service. And I told you that service is stewardship. Kingdom service is stewardship. And what it means to be a steward is to be in charge, to manage on behalf of the real owner. Is that okay now? That's what it means. Today I want to go into some intricacies. Actually, believers who understand stewardship do better on all fronts. Stewardship of everything, your life. You've been bought with a price, you don't belong to yourself. So there's no such thing as, this is the way I want to live my life. Are you following what I'm saying here? There's no such thing as that. There's no such thing as, this is the way I choose to live my life. Someone died. In fact, God became man and died. So you can now have this life that you choose to live the way you want to live. And at the end of the day, we're going to give account for the way we have spent this life. One day, all the decisions we have made, everything we have decided, is going to flash before our eyes. One day. So you want to live in such a way that when you stand face to face with the one who gave you his life, you'll be glad that you did with it everything he expected. Are you following what I'm saying? Have you tried to imagine your life without God's grace? Okay. In what is your confidence rooted now? It is in the fact that there is something beyond you. How do you know you just can't fall down and die now? It's not because you are special or you know how to drive safe. If you, let's assume you know how to drive safe. You can't control the way the other person drives. And there are believers who are not even, there are people who are not even driving. Sometimes even believers. Probably just staying on their own and then someone driving who is drunk. Just go there, eat them and they die. When you see those kind of things, you just say, this can't be me. By what authority are you saying that? I saw the pictures of the things that happened in Plateau. How an entire village was ransacked, people, men and women, maimed. You see, let's take humility in certain things. When you see men, some who are even more built than you, their lives snatched by other individuals, lying in their own blood, you don't stand there and say, this can't be me. You can only say that if you understand the authority by whom you are saying that. You can't just stand there and say, no, I'm smarter. No. If you are smart to pass in school, your smartness is not what is pumping your blood. When you study anatomy and you understand the complexity of human body, go into molecular biology, cell and molecular biology, get into hematology, get into all those things. Hey! You understand that there is an intelligence beyond you. So there is nothing you have that you have not received. Even the breath in your nostrils. Go check. I don't want to give this example. But have you tried to imagine how much it is for kidney transplant? You got all yours free. I don't want to be tempted to give that example. But you know. I don't know what you know. Do you know? Even in the most developed nations, let's assume someone has liver cirrhosis and there's a need for another liver. Let's assume they were even able to get one donor per day. Apart from the requirement, I don't want to go into all those things, for liver transplant. Certain things, stay away from alcohol for certain months and all those certain things you can't take. Sometimes there are over 1,500 people on queue for one liver. Survivor of the fittest, oftentimes the richest, highest bidder. All these things, follow come. Best quality. You see, what I'm trying to show you is that you can't sit down and just brag. Someone paid for all these things. Let's assume you know how to take care of yourself. You know how to eat healthy, exercise daily. How many push-ups do you do per day? Let's say 20. I'm looking at the size of your muscles now. Let's say you do 20. What about children that are born without arms and legs? What prayer do you know how to pray in your mother's womb? Because there's something that we need balance on. While I love the prayer movement and everything happening, sometimes it seeks to take pride in what grace provides. And you see, sometimes care is not taken. We just become set of individuals who are bragging on how many hours. While long prayer is very important. Unfortunately, I wish I can't, but unfortunately, I can count believers I know who pray far more. That sometimes when you look at what happened, you feel this shouldn't happen to a prayer warrior. This is not a matter of prayer warrior or prayerless. This is a matter of grace. When was the last time you took a cup of water? When was the last time? When you took it, you swallowed the water and it went straight. Come on. If you know those who can't, and how much they will be so glad to be able to swallow another one cup of water. What I'm trying to tell you is that these gifts are too much for you to brag on. Let's forget about that. Let's leave the physical things. Let's get into spiritual things. Should we do that? Let's do that in a moment. Are you saved? Huh? You're born again. Okay. Who born you again? What's the difference between you and that drunkard they are picking from the gutter? The difference is not discipline. The difference is Christ. Because sometimes we have still not gotten the balance of the person of Christ in our life. That is the difference. I've seen people go online and insult people. I don't want to get into those matters. But hey, when you feel another believer is this and all that, if you maybe feel someone, not a believer, someone is that. What's the difference between you and that person? It's not, you could not decide on your own to be decent. It was when Christ came to your life that you had the new nature. All by yourself, you can do more than the worst thing you've criticized. Hey, how many of you have looked inward and seen that you have the tendency? You do. Oh, yes. You have appetite for more than what you can imagine. What's the difference? Christ. There's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Sometimes you want to do certain things, you lose your peace. Others do it and they get into trouble. By what ability did you lose your peace? Well, you see, that means that there's an intelligence that where your brain stops, this one continues. Your brain can only pick physical signals. But there is one who delivers us from the pestilence that wastes the noonday and the arrows that fly by night. I remember, was it? My wife was still pregnant with her daughter. I got back from work, from the office, and she said to me, she said, "You had a vision. You were lying there in the sitting room. And you also saw an angel descended. The way our house is in the battle, you know. The sitting room, the glass door, then there's a personage. And just saw physically, like being in and out of sleep. And she said that day, I know, reassuredly, that we are not alone. And the angel was fighting a personality. You must be very smart, so much so that you are awake to defend yourself at night. I say again, you must be so smart. You overrate this protein tissue in your head. You see, the way we overrate those things. Let me tell you something. Do you know that even biologically, intelligence is hereditary? It's part of the things you can inherit. When my son and my wife were getting married, I asked her, "Do you like mass?" I think women said, "It's not really something I like." Okay, I was trying to check. The children coming. I think a lot. What I'm telling you is that the most important things you are bragging about, you have no contribution in them. Okay, you contributed to your look because you molded yourself. You decided the length of your nose. This look that you take so personal. That look at me from head to toe. You dare to talk to a girl like me like that. How amazing it is. Let's do another one. Since you made this person, let's give you clay again. And let's agree that what you make is what you will become. Some of you will ask, "Okay, God, just take me now." What do we have that we have not received? Oh, I see. I can't marry again. It's not fine. You see, you must have concluded before a mirror that you look one kind. Then you now made that this is what fits my kind. Meanwhile, that your kind, you have no contribution there. You shall appear. And what you met was what you took. Though I know some people are doing recreation now. It's none of my business. Augmentation of certain things. I don't know. Do men also augment? Men also augment? What do you mean? Huh? Okay, apart from all those nose plastic surgery, all those things. I mean to add something. What do you want to add? Chest? Okay. I don't even want to go into those matters. And don't tempt me. I don't know what kind of mirror people stand in front of the mirror and say that they need to come and have some silicone implants. And those things burst. In fact, for many of those procedures, there are certain altitude you can't fly. Some after certain period you can't fly certain altitude. Explosion. Big bang theory. They're going to pack someone. Oh God, have mercy. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm trying to go somewhere. Even the scientific knowledge, because now people, you ask people, most times in developed country, if you're in Nigeria and you don't believe in God, there must be more issues. You go through all, you go through Abba. You ask people, do you believe? God said, no, I believe in science. All scientific laws are built on God's faithfulness. Listen to what I'm saying. All laws. Hello. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't understand. Both your principles of aerodynamics and all those things. They are built on what already existed. When you calculate your gravitational pull, at least in the Earth, you did your physics. They'll tell you GM1, M2 over Harris. I still remember a few things. I said, okay, this one is a constant. Okay, they tell you that G is also a constant. Okay? Who created gravity? If the one who made it is not stable, once your plane begins to fly, just say bye-bye because you'll never return. The speed with which it flies to maintain certain order is built on the law they met. What scientists are doing is discovering what the Creator made. So how do you discover something that you know was made by an intelligence and conclude that the one who made that one doesn't exist? I saw something, a picture. They said somebody was in space. I don't know whether it's true or not, because you know the internet. Say, I can't see God here. And I saw a comment, remove your nose mask, you see. Just take away your oxygen tank, you will see him now. Somebody will be with the breath of God in their nostrils and say it doesn't exist. And yet he won't take it. See, when you begin to meditate about who God is, the part that will blow you off is his maturity. The fact that he will still supply the life needed for the one who says it doesn't exist to say it. So the version of gospel you received, that there is a God in heaven who is now waiting for you, who is bought with the blood to sin, so he can now kill you, that version does not understand God. And this is in no way to excuse sin. So much so that our version of gospel in Africa, we have hired God as an assassin. One with whom you can now petition to go kill your neighbor. That if care is not taken and you don't understand the real gospel, if you make a mistake, then something happens, you say it's because of what you have done. God has afflicted you. And that's what you find in the Old Testament. Anna will say, God has caused me not to have a child yet. Sarah will say, God has refrained from having a child. God never stopped Abraham from having a child. The condition was on ground. God just taught them a lesson through it. What I'm saying is that there's no negativity in your life that it was God who brought it. You see, in praying for the sick, this is why one of the most important teachings you want to teach someone who is sick is the love of God. It's unbelievable. Because the healing is in place because God so loved the world. It's in place because God so loved the world. And that's why you discover that even unbelievers most times benefit in healing. Yes. Because it was part of the provision made before he died. What I'm trying to show you is that you have no yardstick for boasting. Everything you have, you've been given. It's a sacred trust. Okay, let's step it a bit further again. What did you study in school? You study different courses. Hey, you didn't study because you love book. First, you were born in a family where someone could afford it. If you were to be selecting families, those you see on the street will select better. Some of you are Christians because you were born actually in homes that it was already on ground. If you were born in Iraq and all that, you could be tying a bomb to your chest now, trying to kill us. I myself could have been on one tabligh trouser with cap and stunt, my head is burnt. It's the gift of grace. It's the gift of grace. And that's why I personally don't know how to talk about anything. I what I'm saying? Even in ministry, most times when I get the feedback of the number of places where our messages have been downloaded and listened to, the countries, it has never occurred to me, and it will never occur to me, that there's something I'm doing special. It's the election of grace. Let me tell you what that means. It is the kind of election that was done without you campaigning. Before, you didn't campaign. Let me show you. Turn your Bibles with me. Jeremiah chapter number 1. Jeremiah chapter number 1. Let's look at it. Let me start reading from verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet. When were you ordained? Before you were formed from your mother's womb. Hey. When did you start saying, God, please use me? After he has ordained you. After. The reason why you can say, God, please use me, is because there's an ordination crying. It was not you seeking him. He sought you first. Oh, hunger. Oh, some of you don't have hunger. Oh, you see, you used to have this hunger. Hey, listen to me. Hunger is a gift. You don't know how to seek God. He sought you first. We love him because he loved us first. Let's be careful how we take pride in these things. Hey. There are things I know that if we are to be, and there are things you know too, that if we both are to be honest, we will admit that we didn't read them from any book. We just knew them by the Spirit. That is, you were taught by the Spirit without enrolling. These are part of your ordinations. One of the ways you know the area of your calling is that there will be supernatural ability to know things in that direction. Having gotten that, you don't manifest what grace put there and give the credit to a book you didn't read. And some of you are not reading. See, well, I've read so and so. Hey, keep quiet. The reason you do that is because man loves to get validation from his ability. And that's why you notice from the moment you start boasting, you will not know more than that. Because God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And people brag about length of fasting they've never done. Because somehow it's been painted. Listen to what I'm saying. Somehow it's been painted that the longer you're fasting, the more spiritual you are. Meanwhile, I shared a story with you of two people that were dating. And they were touching them. So they agreed, we are not going to do this again. He said, no, no. We are going to fast. Which is good. 7 days. The sister did 6 to 6. the brothers dry. They met to break the fast. That's when he got her pregnant. And she gave birth to twins. Stamp, double stamp. Peter and Paul. Jane and Janet. His boy and girl, Isaac and Rebecca. Two boys. Looking, and this is what I'm saying. If someone give birth outside wedlock, those children are not wages of sin. They are the gift of God that came at the time that probably God didn't ordain. Oh, let me balance it. Because the reason why people give birth and try to get into despair and like, my life is finished. Mm-mm. The children, many people now, the children are not the result of your sin. Children are God's heritage. They would have still come, but now they have come earlier. Perfect. But what you observe is that if God has a desire and somehow the plan changed, he reroute. Everything God does is to make sure grace meets you. I don't understand how we read this same Bible and we still take God as a vindictive monster. Who would have thought that it was actually Bathsheba that will give birth to the next king? Another man's wife. It means Uriah would have still died. He would have. Because if God was to be an African, all the children that Bathsheba will give birth to, they will come out as log of wood. You burn this one, wood. That one, stone. The other one, fry pan. But from that defective home, God still brought the next king. You know why? And this is the reason why God is going to use you. It is so that you have no basis for boasting. By the time you now look at your story and say, actually, people like me should not rise. See, even when you are telling testimonies and you are lying, listen, you lied. Even in the areas you missed it, you lied. I've seen people that I know that had a rough start. You know what I'm saying? And then giving testimony about marriage. I said, me and my wife, we never touched each other. You did. Grace helped you. And when you lie about what grace brought you out from, you will deny others the knowledge of the redemptive power of God. Your scar is not a testimony of your failure. It's a testimony of God's healing. So people lie. I and my wife, we marry each other as a virgin. If those girls in your campus will come out, why do people lie about all these things? Because they have found that most people get validation from in their impeccability. Meanwhile, the best of us was saved by grace. That's why I like to share my story. 2011. I was liking one girl in church, Sister Gloria. I just observed. I didn't even know what was going on with me. I just observed that I got to church. It was one of the escorts. I didn't see her and I didn't have rest. That's when I knew I was in trouble. If you know that year, that was where the days of Togo. That's where the problem of the generation started from, to go. Trying to increase their to go ranking and all that. Where did you stop? Amateur and all that. Some of you became professional. I don't even know the names now. I know some of you, you enter into different to go rooms and cause trouble and come out. You go to a place you not go, go and drop some things there, cause chaos there, come out. But now you boast as if you were born again. Talk about the redemptive grace of God that saved you. It doesn't reduce who you are. And that's why in this church, I can't say that in this church we have never been before. We are bold. So when I talk to ministers, because God, that's one of my calling. I don't lie. And I'm not saying those who say so don't are lying. People knew differently from the start. Okay? And we start at different levels. But I know what it is to have a guest minister preaching and the honorarium is not ready. So now when we tell you, see, you have to understand honor. Oh boy. It is when you have what to honor with now. True? You not say that. So the honor is in our hearts, sir. We fry puff. You know those puff that when you hold, you look like they're about to conduct an anointing service. He anointed my head with oil. My cup. So it's your stomach that runs over. What is it that you have that you have not received? That's the truth. That's the truth. You are a preacher. When you preach, you love to hear your own voice. Who gave you? You even dare to install other people's use of English. You. If you are sent to Makaranta alone, do you know what they call? Some of you have been in the West for a while. No, let's go to Kano. Let me take you to a place called Otoro. See children just come out in the street in the morning. There's nothing you did for you not to have been born like that. And you even look like an Afa. Maybe by now you'd have been the one saying, people, if you go to church, I'll cut your head off. But you are here. Enjoying Jesus. Not because you know how to seek Him. He sought you out. You see, if we begin to talk more about God's grace, people will have less struggle. If you ask an average believer struggling one thing or the other, they are trying to break free in the energy of the flesh. Discipline yourself more. You see, actually, there's an aspect of prayer that requires discipline in keeping routine. But the real prayer is by the spirit of supplication. And that's why I don't count prayer as a sacrifice, because talking to my wife is a sacrifice. We can sit down and talk for 6 hours. And I say, it's so sacrificial talking to you. How do you call talking to God a sacrifice? I don't even know that would make you laugh. Okay. Imagine you talk to your wife and say, so much sacrifice, man. Then you now talk to God for 2 hours. You say, sacrifice. Sacrifice is determined quickly where there is no love. Are you following what I'm saying? And meanwhile, as you begin to pray, even if it is done mechanically, and that's why I said there's an aspect that is that's to push. And you get to the breakthrough point. That one, you have to learn it. You have to. But when you get to that point where you break into the atmosphere, it is now by the Spirit. Zechariah 4 verse 6 is the word unto Zerubbabel saying, not by might nor power, but by my Spirit, says who? The Lord. Check it. Set your alarm that you pray every day 2 a.m. Do that for like 2 weeks. You will not need an alarm again. In fact, you begin to notice that 1:59 you are up and switch off the alarm. The spirit of a man is richer than any technology can ever give. The best of this is the gift of grace. So now we teach people who are not married and say how to know the will of God for your life. Hey, I read all those books. But by my own personal pursuit, I will never have married the will of God for my life. I have my design. I have my spec. I shared with you how I was asking a sister out. And as I was saying it, the Holy Ghost was saying, you and I know that you are lying. And this is not going anywhere to happen. You know, you have started the journey. Now, you can't go back. Are you coming up? And I knew right there that this sister will eat breakfast. I knew. If I'm going to teach you about relationship and marriage, I'll come from the angle of mercy. I couldn't get it right myself. Mercy. I remember myself and my friends have spoken. In fact, I just had the conversation with Lawrence. That was the day of his dad's birthday. So I go and check that calendar. That's the first time I was seeing my wife. I remember I went to take a picture of Daddy Oyo. The last conversation we have is that as far as this year is concerned, I stop praying for you to get married. Because it's like your case. You're on your own now. And you see, me too, I said, I know that I give up. I started preparing the guys. I said, so you know so-and-so pastor, so-and-so apostle. I said, so see that they are single and ministry is going fine. Meanwhile, it's not revelation, it's frustration. I was going to carry a cross that is not mine. I said, you know, did I mention him? So it's your business. So I said, you know, apostle, so is not, is he married? Say no. Say, this married queen. Say, it's even the problem. Say, forget about. We'll focus on this work. It's frustration, sir. It's not real. There's nothing deep about it. And it's not because I'm serious. Do you get what I'm saying? It's not like I'm serious. That's why I say, it's that I'm tired. What is to me? That was the time my wife now came. Just looking at me like one Chinese. Who is this Chinese? This is the Chinese, yeah. So, if I am going to give a presentation on that, I'm going to, above all else, there is the grace and mercy factor. That even when you have decided to do it your way, there's a dimension that can say no. That one, you don't brag about it. Do you get what I'm saying? What I'm trying to show you, your life is the sum total of God's investment. Mark it. God's rich investment. God's powerful investment. God's intentional investment. Very intentional. Say loud and clear, God is intentional about me. Now you are not saying like one who knows it. You are still not saying like one who knows it. More than I can be about myself. So all these giftings. Now, do you know that those of you who can dance, it's not because you are smarter than those of us who can't dance. Because I remember seeing the video of you guys dancing in Abuja when I was in the battle. I didn't see him there. So I said, I didn't see him. They said, he can't dance. Thank God. I'm not the only one. Some of us is in our head. In my mind, nobody in this world can beat me in dancing. But the problem comes when I try to interpret it into action. I hang. Then I like, did I hear the beat? One time my wife said that you dance off beat, but you see, just watch me. So I'll be watching her. One time she came to me, you are improving. I know it's marriage. I did not grow. I know. Even me, I know. But what I'm telling you is that there's nothing we have that we have not what? Received. There's nothing. There's nothing. Think about anything in your life. Let's go to the ladies. Full hair. Or, I don't know the kind. It's the gift of grace. Hey, you could be born to be bald. Do you know what baldness is? Right now, if we touch you, you sound like glass. It could happen. And it will not make God less of who he is. True? Thank God for scientific knowledge that you could do hair grafting and all that. Anyways, go and check the procedure. It will pay you. But there's nothing stopping you from to have been born bald. Just imagine yourself right now. Gone, everything. As clear as the sea of grass, of glass. Revelation 4. Then imagine him, he could have been born with two breasts. In suit. We'll find a way to organize him and all that. When we want to counsel, we'll marry him, we'll have to say, you know his condition. Hey. Stand up, let's imagine you with it. Okay, sit down. I'm trying to see what extent we can go to let you know is the gift of what? Grace. If I've met my wife bald, Gabriel will have to come down and say, I'm the one who spoke to you in the dream. And he will have to add, you will not be able to speak till you have done what the Lord says to do. I know myself. He will have to add it. Lazarus, you shall not speak. Do you accept this woman as your lawful wedded wife? I know myself. But what I'm saying is that this thing you take pride and glory in is the gift of grace. Are you aware there are skin conditions that when water touch, you can't rest anymore? So imagine the kind of things that are being placed to prevent body odor. What have you received? Grace. You are looking for a future partner because you are eligible. You can be married. It is possible to be someone that can't be married. And it's not character defect. There are people that are born without some bone structures in their body. By their normal anatomy, they can't carry a child in their womb. And you ask, like they asked about Jesus, who had sinned? Is it this guy or his parents? Because the man thinks that it takes deficiency in one place for certain things to happen. And if a man is thinking like that, he will now think that if he's fine, then somebody must be righteous. So who is righteous for you to be fine? Even the righteousness you brag about is a gift. You couldn't earn it. Can you do what Jephthah did? He said, any creature that meets me first after this battle, I sacrifice. His daughter came. Tell me how righteous you are. And that's why when Job began to brag, and he got to the height of his pain, began to brag, God called him, said, Job, come. Come. Greet your loin like a man. You say you're a man. I want to ask you questions. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the world? When I measured the depth thereof, where were you? When I fasted upon the sea, where were you? When I tell the sea, this is how far it should come, go no further, where were you? when I bring the mountain goats to deliver, where were you? You can't brag that your righteousness brought something when it is God's gift. The reason why I'm showing you this is that once you understand this revelation, it will now be a capital declaration of independence from God's authority for you not to steward what He has given you. That if a guy comes after you and says, you are beautiful, you are a fine girl, that beauty now shows in Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? It does not become a weapon of mass destruction. Now be that your life seeks to express the one who is the fairest above all. Maybe, now I look back, I feel maybe some of us could have won more souls on campus. We take pride in going to tutorial centers and come. And sometimes even the way you teach, you know that you want to mesmerize them. I've been there. You just come out from some angle and you give them some equation and say, take it to all your schools. If they can solve this, I know you have a math teacher. You know I've done that before. I get your brother now. I get all of you, take it to your schools. If they can, any teacher that can solve this equation, then I know he's a mathematics teacher. So they come back following day. I look at the answers. I say, sit down, all of you, sit down. We could have used what we knew to lead them to Christ. We're just boasting and making money. I used to go and sit for students for Waeko. I will be in one place, special center, solving questions. To say, police is coming. Ah, Nibo. The final day, solving. When you are doing other subjects, you tell this amount, no problem. But mathematics, you say no. This is the price. We know you can't get plenty of people that will do this. This is the price. So you get them. I have a friend, Ben. I don't know if you can see this now. I hope you are not stealing it. I've gone. New man in Christ, new creature, all things are passed away. God help you. The day they came and said, police are around. We're running inside the bush. And I began to ask myself, what brought me here? For how much? Okay, they now put handcuffs in my hands now. For how much? Are you following what I'm saying? What I'm saying is that we could have used this ability to win more souls. But we didn't steward them well. And unfortunately, there are people who still use the Bible as that. You mesmerize people and show how great of a teacher you are. Not how awesome a savior we have. You know, when you have the grace to teach, even you, you know. But it's not an avenue to draw men to yourself. If my name be lifted up, Jesus said He will draw men to who? Himself. Your life now becomes a platform for advertising Christ. Are you following what I'm saying? Stewarding God's grace. Once we understand this is an ability given by grace. Some were born naturally to have the hedge to know certain things. I know good music, but I can't sing it. If I try now, you'll have to wear earphone. Or just respect me and just sing along. But we'll be packing keys here. Bunch of keys. I'll start from C, then we'll go to Q. They say it doesn't exist. Find it. So once you begin to realize that I just checked my life and I met certain things, the ones I didn't meet, there was grace and ability to pursue them and get them quite more than others. Someone put them there. And whoever put them there invested, and there must be a return on investment. there must be a return on investment. It will take an unjust steward to deny the fact that the one who has invested them expects a return on investment. Is somebody with me? Are you following what I'm saying? Everything God has blessed you with, unfortunately, this example is still living rent-free in my head. We have a covenant practice. Don't let me get there. One of the signs that you have arrogated anything to yourself is that you find it difficult to be yielded in service. Anything you can't yield to God in service, you believe you provided it. You believe your intelligence built it. Let me show you this. Please look up, everyone. How many of you have seen your mate? You just see the picture online. What was happening here? RIP. And they were once like you. And when that day came, their intelligence could not say no to death. While you have this breath in your nostrils, your life must be an expression of His grace. There's this song coming to my spirit. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be. We cry out the instrument.
Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed
be. It is the same song that says that my life is an expression. Yeah, sing it.
Daily as shining. No finesse I bring. Let my whole life be expressions of your grace. Daily as shining. No finesse I bring.
Come on, lift your hands.
Let my whole life be.
Let it have a meaning in your heart.
I have a Father. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name.
We cry out to Father.
We cry out to Father.
Hallowed be.
Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be. Always doing good. Everyone. time. Everywhere that Jesus goes, He is always good. He is always good. He is always good. Everywhere that Jesus goes, He is always good.
There's no me without you, Lord, Yahweh. There's no me without you, Lord. There is no me without you, Lord. There's no me without you, Lord. There's no me without you, Lord. Sing from your seat where you're sitting.
God of covenants, you're the God of covenants, your faithful promises. Yeah. Time and time again, you have proven you do just what you say. Great is your faithfulness.
Hallelujah. Amen. Now, look at everyone. Who is he that keeps you from falling? Him. Jude verse 24. Unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present us spotless. You have no right to judge anyone for what grace gives you. You have no right. And that's why the Bible says, even if a brother is caught in a fault, let one with the spirit of meekness. You know why? The spirit of meekness is the spirit of acknowledgement that grace made me stand. So when you stand even to bring correction to the body of Christ, it is with the spirit of meekness. That the reason why I don't have this doctrinal error and persuasion is because someone helped me align. We don't speak like one who was born with the Bible. It's grace. It's grace. It's grace. Oh, we give you praise. Yahweh, Yahweh. Where will that be?
If not for you.
I want to get the truth.
That's why I sing
louder. Are you following what I'm saying? The reason why stewardship is difficult for some is because there's no acknowledgement yet. The day a Christian brother said, is it God who gave me this job? He said, I read, studied, and passed the interview. That's why I got the job. I never thought in my life a believer would ever say that. We overrate this tissue in our skull. Are you aware that the one who is mad still have the brain there? Yeah. Just a bit of obstruction. Just one thing can be touched there. You no longer have sense of touch again in your life. You can say you are using your mind well, but who gave you that mind? It took me 2 years. Are you following what I'm saying? After leaving school to serve. How many years? 2 years. 2 years of shutdown. Retreat. So when I got to NYC camp, do you know I got to NYC camp? Why I got to where I went to serve? Let me tell you. I went to eat in a restaurant. Not even a restaurant, all these buka. You know the difference? There's buka. Then at the base of the buka, there's mama put. Then there's buka. The difference is that buka has an enclosure. I'm up with umbrella and so. So I was in a restaurant. No, in a buka. That girl that usually come and serve and take away water used to wash your hand. The girl was just asking her, Pastor, you have not gone for service. I said, I've not gone. And the girl said, I have someone that can help you. I was wondering. Yeah. That fellow is really helping. They should take care of this place. He said, this is one of my aunties. He called her. He knows somebody. And I called. He said, let me just call. He said, I'm going to connect to someone. Connected me here to Abuja. And I spoke with the woman. She doesn't have time. She said, hey, where do you want to serve? I said, please, can you do me a favor? Can I call you back in 5 minutes time? So I called my mentor. I said, I have an offer on my table. Where should I serve? My mentor said, well, he's been praying for me and he's hearing a prayer. I have been praying. I heard undo. So every day in the same place. So I called back. I said, this is where I want to start. I said, okay, have a wonderful time. Just send in your call up number. And so I sent the details. The call up letter came out where I wanted. I got to camp. As I took the first step inside, I kept saying, grace brought me here. You know the reason why some of you don't know grace brought you there? Because you got it immediately. So you feel, where else should I be? But maybe if you had a bit of experience where you see that your intelligence can be frustrated, and finally it came true. Don't wait for such experience to acknowledge grace. Every step I took, grace brought me here. Maybe it was in that awareness that I went to collect the first meal. And the woman served me a meal. And I said, wow, thank you so much, my God bless you. She said, come back here. What do you say? I said, thank you so much, my God bless you. She said, come to this side. I went there. She said, what's your name? I said, I'm Femi. I know I'm proud of my name. I call it in full. I'm Femi Lazarus. What? You are Femi? That's my husband's name. He said, no copper has ever said what you said to me. She said, come and see in my office. I was wondering. Where I got here, somebody was serving me food. Now somebody is serving me food. Which office again? You are just here cooking. I said, I'll go. So I went to attend the lectures, all the orientation things. And then I saw her being introduced. When she was being introduced, the whole officer stood up. And they said, I don't want to mention her name. This is Mrs. So-and-so-and-so-and-so. One of the officers from Abuja. What? By the time she was done, I was waiting at the office door. As he saw me, you know what she said? Hey, Femi, come. As she was hugging me. Say, look at his skin. So, me, fresh. Do you know where I was coming from? You should not associate freshness with a man like me. Maybe you should say, look, he's so emaciated. I need to show you my NYC picture to let you know that the freshness he saw must only be God. As he called, being baby crazy. This is my son. He should not eat from that place. Where's your food card? Food? Says, don't go there again. Said, there's a private dining. Just come inside and I want you. Then I discovered that there were coppers who are not coppers. Very fresh looking kid. I was the strange one amongst them. I didn't know there can be pepper soup in NYC camp. So I see that I hit. I kept saying, grace brought me here. Do you know I got into ministry? It was my first service in a church. First service, first timer. You know, first timer, you want to welcome a first timer. You are hoping you will understand and stay. First timer in a church. The pastor, he said, stand up. He said, I've been praying, I'm going to mission. This is the pastor of this church. First timer. That's how I got into ministry. And when he said I ran, I said, this church is not serious. If they were serious, they would just pick somebody like that. Yeah, not serious. Then later I came back and submitted. When problem? Anything you are not acknowledging is because you have envisioned your might behind it. The moment you envision the might of God, it will never be difficult serving Him with it. From giftings to provisions. The moment, are you with me? The moment you begin to see God in it, the moment that scripture becomes real, there's nothing we have that we have not received. Let me now come to the area of the church. Are you aware that being a worker, either from protocols to all those departments and all that, it's an election of grace? The reason anyone can become arrogant with it is because they feel they merit it. Be careful when you leave something undone because you feel you don't have replacements. The grace that found you will show you that somebody else too has been found. I shared this story with you, Riyad Bonke. Riyad Bonke, when the ministry started, was not usually praying for the sick. Riyad Bonke was not, what he does, what he was doing, was to preach and call out. He had another man who was praying for the sick. This is a confirmed story. One time they had a dispute. And that guy, that man, refused to leave the hotel room for the procedure. And he said, I will see today how he's going to do it. And God ministered to Riyadbonke. Pray for the sick. Riyadbonke said he was waiting and watching for. And God said, go ahead and pray. And when he prayed for the sick, I think this happened in Lesotho or South Africa, I can't remember. And to his amazement, as he prayed for the sick, he was surprised to see wheelchairs, crutches up. When man becomes arrogated in what grace brought, that thing will be taken and given to someone else. There is an automated protocol that resists pride. How dare you leave God's work to suffer because you are angry? How dare you? Do you know the implication? Hold on a minute. Do you know who God is? They called you for leadership meeting. Say, leaders are meeting. Say, I can't come. I'm not charged. Do you know what you are talking about? The spirit realm does not tolerate void and vacancy. The moment the space is empty, it fills up. And that's why as Saul was misbehaving, the kingship anointing was already on someone else. What he was carrying was the kingship title. And it was clear when Goliath came that the anointing was required to defeat Goliath. The man with the title was frustrated. Be careful so you will not be labeled just title and name. Head of department. But there's another person who is the leader of the department. Never let God's work drag in your account. We need a revelation of God that will make us fear Him. And that fear is reverence to revere Him. Let me ask you a question. How do you survive being alive and there is nothing about you contributing any quota to what Jesus died for? No soul to your account, no stewardship to your account, no service to your account. How do you survive it? When you understand you've been bought with a price, you live to his expectation. That I'm going to make sure that I find something doing that glorifies Him. Many of you, every year you have plans. When I have my birthday, I'm going to go to the orphanage home. You've never done it. Orphanage home, you never did. You've gone so bad now that when you see beggars now, you want to educate them on why they are lazy. And from the beginning, you were not like that. In the days that you were also broke, you had more compassion. But now you are familiar with being blessed. You can open your account and send wire any millions. When there is acknowledgement, service will flow. See, write this statement down on your heart. Listen, never allow God remind you of where He picked you from. Never allow Him remind you. Never allow Him tell you you were a nobody when I found you. The moment He reminds you of where He picked you from, you're already back there. You're already back there. And that's why I said, I think it was this morning during PPC, that the higher God lifts you, the more humble you must become. The more humble. No, sit down now. Don't sit. Most times you forget. I was asking my wife, why is it that most hospitals you get to, those who take deliveries are women? Who, some of them have also gone through delivery. But you see how they treat their fellow women. I say, you just pack yourself then, arrange. And they just check, you are 4 centimeters dilated.
You are being part yourself one kind. I thought I just forget those men there. I used to think that one who has, not all of them are like that anyways.
We have many medical personnel, so we have people who are decent.
I would not have imagined that someone who knows what the pain of labor is will treat a fellow man like that. So I asked my wife, why does that happen? She said it's because of forgetfulness. Men have given birth, they've forgotten. If God has brought you out of something, don't forget. You need that memory to birth compassion when you meet others who are going through it.
See, it's not that our ministry can be talking about we're going to get a venue, 16 million naira. We are trying to do 16 million.
I know when we got the first 50,000 cash. My first salary that the ministry could afford to pay me, this is not 50 years ago or 20 years ago, was 3,500. How much? 3,500. So I know what it means to be a broke, anointed pastor. Very broke. There should be, thank God, he was with us from day one. From day one. We were among the first seven people that were seated at Mambo. Sometimes rain will start falling. I say, all of you sit down there. We will learn in the rain or in the sun. Many times I will enter into on a bus. I climb on the bus. And I don't have tea fare. I shared my story with you when I was in Ghana. Hunger. Have you heard that story before? Hunger. It was hunger that was converted to fasting. It was in the midst of that fasting that the mandate for this ministry came. I'm not you just saying hunger, this one that you do hunger from morning till night. That is not hunger. This one is prolonged. So one of those days, you know, I've been preaching to them. All of you are going to keep girlfriends, all those Ghanaian girls. Stop it. Jesus loves you. It was one of those girls that brought Banku, and the preacher knows that his survivor has to be on this. So the guys gathered. Ought Banku. You know what Banku is? And people began to dig in. So I said, this thing will finish. I watched my friend, who is also a pastor, was digging in. And meanwhile, I knew right from the time that my friend is wiser than I am. I knew. So I could trust him. Me, I know those who are. I submit. I don't believe to be wise in everything. So, as I took the first one, it burnt my hand. It became waterlogged. So I swallowed it. Because I had to catch up. As I swallowed, it was like I swallowed volcano. It went like... I stood up. I knew I was done for. Somebody said, oh Lord. I knew I was done for. There's been hunger now on empty stomach, that hot food. So I now found out that my friend I know was wiser, was not actually swallowing it. He was packing and putting it on that plate. Before you copy anybody, see them finish. So indeed, he's wiser. So the following day, I collapsed out of hunger. And the people who couldn't help me could contribute, I think, 20 cedi for my transport. What? As they put me on a cab, we're going to a place called Keta Municipal Hospital. I said to myself, this driver will rather beat me today. This morning, I will eat. You will just beat me. So I said, Oga, park. I'm in Ghana, they are patient. They are not injured. So I bought bread. I brought some other things. And I sat down. I knew. Eat this one then. Face trouble. I was ready for the trouble. Then, as I was eating, I saw the guy beside me that was struggling with his phone to configure it. So I said, I can help you. So as I was eating my bread, I said, let me help you.
I did the configuration setting. So I said, well, you pay for my transport. So he agreed. I got to the hospital. The sisters were waiting. Our pastor is here. Pastor that has been hungry. First thing, they went to kick and to cook spag and seafood and tea. I said, I swear to God, I will not be fine. I will never. They were treating me and said, this is a sign of ulcer. I said, no. I was taking drips, taking injects. I don't mind. Food was coming morning, afternoon, night. Morning, afternoon. After spending over a week, the nurse say, hey, pastor, you are fine. I said, I'm not fine. My stomach is paining me. So the sisters figured out that what he needs is food. So one of them now came to meet me and said, actually, you don't have to go back to where you are coming from. You can stay close to us. They will be cooking for you. I said, okay, I'm ready to be discharged. Come on. So that's how I got discharged. I was taking the injection as long as the food was. So I know the name, all the botanical names of hunger. I know them. Meanwhile, the ability to fast that I have now is not because I'm that disciplined. Hunger conditioned it. Don't forget where God brought you out of, so that you can steward your current level well. I don't know how much you were handy, but remember when you were living on 2K? Not even 2K, that urgent 2K now. Now we can talk and say people have done urgent 2K. I've done urgent 2K before. I went to minister in Benin Republic, God standing at Seme border. Phone was dead from Seme, from Benin Republic to Nigeria. My honorarium was how much? 10,000. The fellowship leader removed 5, gave me 5. You know all those border people, they collected all the money. I got stranded as a preacher. I was there till evening. Before I could find a way to charge my phone, Sam please called me to a friend. Who now called? I said, right now, I'm stranded. I'm at the border. Anything you can send, there's the same 5K. I got into Lagos. The rest is history. When this knowledge keeps staying there, there's a posture of humility you will have, so that if you now want to help others, you won't speak from pride. If I share experiences with you, my wife will say, I don't know how many lives you've lived. But the consciousness of those things is there. So if I sit down to help ministers and ministries, it is from the bowl of compassion. Our first venue in Spirit of Life Church was 50K. And that 50K, everybody comes to me. You know the venue. Amoro. Ah. Everybody put money together for that venue. Everybody. We couldn't afford to get a painter, so we bought paint. One guy on campus says he's going to collect 15 kids. Forget about it. So we bought paint. We were all short singlets, everybody. Painting the hall. So now we say, sir, lecture is starting so and so place. I say we knew how to do it. Grace. So acknowledge God's grace. Steward what grace has provided. Do with it what you want. And that's why one of the litmus tests of your level of stewardship is giving. Listen. Giving is not a teaching that is done so that pastors or church can have money. Stop that. The basic test of your love to God is mammon. A man who is not faithful or righteous, man, what can he pay for other things? Because the love of money for gratification and all that is the root of many evil. All evil, the Bible calls it. So like Abraham, he will give it, then check. Can you release it? It is until then that he knows he will do you good. You will also steward your time. That my life and my time must count. My contribution must be felt. And one of the ways to do this is not just to pray for yourself, but to also intercede. Intercede for other believers. Pray for them. You pray for your nation. You pray for your church. Listen, anything you can criticize effectively, you are not interceding for effectively. Intercession, if you ever see anybody come out and criticize something, the fellow is not praying for it. Even when the statement ends with "we are praying for them," is a lie. You can't pray and condemn at the same time. It's not possible. The one who is praying takes the posture of a midwife. You are trying to see something better. Anytime you ever see anybody, why is it that we don't see the fathers in the body of Christ come out and criticize ministries and criticize others? It is because they are praying actively. If you are criticizing the government, you are not praying for the government. The both can go hand in hand. And should I say this, oh Lord, help me? Okay, for the sake of the future, let me beg those who are probably starting out in ministry, or you've been in ministry, be careful of taking upon yourself the duty of judging the bride of Christ. See, if you are going to report my wife to me, you have to be careful how you do it. Many have died early for not discerning the body of Christ. Pray. Intercede. Restore with meekness. Don't do it like you are the one who knows how to do it best. I'm saying this because many may lose their ministry in being critical. Focus on what God has given you to do and mature it. Mature it. Who has made you a Jehovah and another man's servant? To his master, his son, to his master, what? He falls. And his master is able to keep him from falling. When you look at men like that, Ikumi, Pastor Yadebu, it's not like you don't see many things going on. They do. But fathers pray. I was sharing something that was very, very significant. Now, when you see people, and I think I have the release. Because I would not criticize or bring anybody down. I'm just going to speak the truth. When you see people that you believe are not dressing right, and they didn't tell you that they are sisters, so. And we drag them on social media. Okay, when they see it, will they love your Jesus more? If what you want to help the church for, if the person you think you want to help, the way you put, if the fellow see it, will the fellow take the correction? Or they will know they've been damaged. That woman was caught in an act of adultery. This one is not even the one you are speculating based on dressing. This one, they caught her in the act. And we're going to stone her to death. That's what religion does. Religion is wicked. It is vindictive. And she ran to Jesus. And Jesus was writing on the ground. And they were saying, this woman does this. And he said, anyone who is without sin, cast the first stone. According to Hebrews 4 verse 15, for we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, seeing that he was in all point tempted like we are, yet without sin. So the only one without sin is that high priest. So now let that one who is without sin cast the first stone. And one after the other, you began to see that it's hypocrisy. You began to drop their stones. So the only one standing there is the one who has never sinned. And the woman was looking at him. You are the only one who can judge me. And he said, I condemn you neither. Go and sin no more. Only religion is wicked. Christianity is beautiful. The thing you insult people for is just Christ in you that makes the difference. It's Christ in you. If you are without Christ, you can even be doing some dirty movies. And I'm saying this because I'm concerned, and I want those who are in ministry, don't take on that work. Do your assignment and dispense in love. I wanted to say a statement, but let me put it in quote. Check ministers who are not in ministry of accusation. God give them wider reach in the body. If God is one who commissions accusation, then he should give it wider reach. Be careful. So that by the time we stand before Jesus, someone will say, your healing word helped me. Your condemnation won't. Your healing words help me. There's no one who is close to me or connected to me in ministry who will be critical. Critical, insulting, judgmental, insult fathers and contemporaries. Do your work and God will honor it. Are you following what I'm saying? Serve God with integrity of heart. I want you to make a commitment before God. There's nothing you have given me I won't honor you with. Make that commitment. Make that commitment. There's nothing you have given me, oh Lord, that I won't honor you with. There's nothing. There's nothing you have blessed me with that I won't honor you with. There's nothing. I honor you not just in words, but you see also in deed. Everything you have given and blessed me with, I yield them. I want you to renew your commitment of absolute devotion to God's service. What did I say? Renew your commitment. I will serve you with all that you have given to me. I will serve you with my life. Jesus will be famous through my life. His work won't drag in my lifetime when I have what it takes to push it. Come on. Go ahead and make it a prayer. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Get up on your feet, everyone. Hey, I told you, right? Never allow God to remind you of where you picked you up from. Meaning that never get familiar with the height. You are going to climb more. But make sure that you are so light that the hand that took you up can still take you further. Is that okay? Why? As He raises you, because I know God is going to lift you. I'm very certain. I know a Lord is coming. I know doors will open for you. But it must meet certain structure on ground. Certain decision, certain resolve. That no matter the height, I will always be humble. I will never complain about the work I receive by privilege. I will never. Once this revelation is there, the way you walk will be different too. Every time I had the privilege to stand in church, I'm always, it's a privilege. And that's why I don't use words carelessly. Because, the privilege to speak to the bride of Christ is not a small thing. It's an honor. Let's raise that sound and I go. What an honor to be ordained and anointed. I want all of us everywhere, Ibadan, Lagos, Ife. Let's sing that song.
What an honor to be ordained and anointed, to be a man and a saint, next in the rhythm of your heart. What an honor.
Remember that grace that took you from the back and put you in front. Acknowledge that grace and be humble with it. Never do God's work with arrogance.
Oh, what love you have.
I'm me a model to be called.
I'm me a model to be called. Oh, 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 oh. To share He made the path.
We call Him Father, Father.
Father. Oh, I love you, I love you.
I'm me a model.
I'm me a model.
Dear Lord, that the spirit of stewardship and service will rise in greater proportion in this house. In the name of Jesus. That we will serve you acceptably and better in all that you have blessed us with. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, Flame. To partner with Flame, kindly make use of these account details. 2215-005289 UBA.